you the first gospel lesson from Luke chapter 4, verses 14 through 21. Then Jesus, filled with the power of the Spirit, returned to Galilee, and a report about him spread through all the surrounding country. He began to teach in their synagogues and was praised by everyone. When he came to Nazareth, where he had been brought up, he went to the synagogue on the Sabbath day, as was his custom. He stood up to read, and the scroll of the prophet Isaiah was given to him. He unrolled the scroll and found the place where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim release to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, to let the oppressed go free, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor." And he rolled up the scroll, gave it back to the attendant, and sat down. The eyes of all in the synagogue were fixed on him. Then he began to say to them, "Today, this scripture has been fulfilled in your hearing." This is the word of God for us, the people of God. Thanks be to God. Now, we'd like to welcome Rick Beach this morning. Rick is the Vice President for Faith Relations with the Habitat for Humanity Wake chapter. He helped to found Habitat Wake in 1984 as a seminary intern and was the initial executive director. Then Rick worked for Habitat International, helping to start and guide other affiliates, and then to launch and lead the Faith Relations Department. Rick returned to Habitat Wake in 2012 to serve as its VP of Faith Relations. Rick has also served as a missions and executive pastor of churches, most recently serving as executive pastor at Apex United Methodist Church. The five social justice priorities of the United Methodist Church are poverty, climate, health, peace, and civil and human rights, all grounded in racial justice. Habitat for Humanity hits most of these priorities. Thank you for being here, Rick.
The second gospel lesson is Mark 8:35-37. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake and for the sake of the gospel will save it. For what will it profit them to gain the whole world and forfeit their life? Indeed, what can they give in return for their life? This is the word of God for the people of God. It's great to be with you this morning. Thank you, Jane, for the introductions. Three times now, so thank you. And let me begin by saying that the church and Pastor Jay and Ashley and your leaders have been in my prayer while Pastor Jay is recovering. It truly is an honor for me to participate in your worship services this morning. I am very thankful for your church and society team, a committee, which suggested that Habitat for Humanity be your focus for this special fifth Sunday. I'm also thankful for Jane to significantly advancing the partnership between Pleasant Grove and Habitat for Humanity. And thankful for all those that came out yesterday who kicked off the Methodist build. I'd like to celebrate, as Ashley mentioned, that at the 8:30 service, we had Pastor Beverly Solomon of Piney Grove, a African Methodist Episcopal Church with us, and then the Habitat Coordinator for that church, Mike Murphy, with us. It's thrilling that Piney Grove and Pleasant Grove will be working together on this Methodist bill. The title of my message is Building the Beloved Community. Let's pray. Loving God, we know that you are present with us. We pray now that we may hear your invitation to live more fully into your love. May we be empowered through your Spirit to live such powerfully loving lives that your kingdom, your beloved community, is advanced in your beautiful creation. Amen. While on earth, Jesus talked about the kingdom of God more than anything else. The New Testament reading for today is often referred to as Jesus' first sermon. Jesus read that familiar text from Isaiah in a synagogue, then said, in essence, the kingdom that you've been waiting for is now at hand. The kingdom that Jesus was announcing, however, was not the kingdom that many were expecting. The kingdom would not be about power, nationalism, or triumphalism. It would be much bigger than that. It would be the kingdom of God. It would be a new way of being for all of humanity. It will be the kingdom of love and humility. Needless to say, that proclamation was then and is now unsettling and unpopular to those seeking a kingdom of power and might. It is unsettling for all of us at some level who want to be on a winning team and crush our opponents. But throughout Jesus' life, Jesus taught and modeled that this kingdom of God, be advanced. The Isaiah text that Jesus read describes this kingdom that Jesus came to bring. In God's kingdom, the poor hear good news. There is release from all those beaten down and in captivity. In God's kingdom, there is healing. And people chained to selfishness are set free. Throughout Jesus' life, Jesus healed and loved those that a society taught not to love. Second-class citizens became first-class citizens in God's kingdom. Women, lepers, hated tax collectors. In Jesus' Sermon on the Mount, Jesus made it clear that it is the humble, selfless, compassionate peacemakers that are the inheritors of the kingdom of God. They are the citizens of God's kingdom. When encountering a crowd filled with righteous indignation, ready to stone a person to death for their transgression, Jesus inspired that crowd to put down their stones, asking them to reflect on their own transgressions. Jesus taught and modeled that in God's kingdom, everyone is to be loved, no exceptions, even our enemies. When Jesus' followers brought out their swords to defend him from his enemies, he compelled them to put their swords away. God's kingdom would not be achieved or sustained through violence. On the cross, Jesus powerfully forgave those who put him up there. Jesus demonstrated that the citizens of God's kingdom, the kingdom of love, are not to be preoccupied with themselves. They are to be concerned for others. In fact, Jesus taught that we totally miss out on the meaning of life and the full life that God came to bring. God wants for all of us if we only look out for ourselves. However, if we love God and love our neighbors as ourselves, we live the full life that Jesus came to bring and model. Jesus also very practically taught us that if we have two coats, then we are to give one away to a person that doesn't have a coat. Jesus also taught and modeled that in God's kingdom, prayerful reflection is paramount. In prayer, we become grounded in God's love. Throughout the Gospels, Jesus is regularly depicted as going to or returning from a time of prayer. Jesus then gave us a model prayer to use, the Lord's Prayer, where we are explicitly to pray for God's kingdom to come on earth. Jesus audaciously taught that empowered with God's Spirit, we too can love as deeply as Jesus loved while on earth. Like Jesus, with sights on God's kingdom of love, we can live a life full of love. God's kingdom is a kingdom of love, selflessness, and service. Not surprisingly, a life of such magnitude of love created a stir in the world. Many followers of Jesus, believing that they too can live magnanimous lives of love with the power of the Spirit, indeed have lived amazingly loving lives. There is evidence that many of the early followers of Jesus lived this way of love. As such, they were often called people of the way of love. Historians documented that in the early centuries after Jesus, the followers of Jesus not only loved their own, they loved everyone they came in contact with. They eventually became known as Christians, for they exhibited this boundless love of Jesus the Christ. In college and in seminary, while discerning how I would live this way of love during my lifetime, I heard the story of some very peculiar Christians. People perhaps like that distinctive, the distinctive Christians a few centuries after Jesus. Their story captivated me. Habitat for Humanity was birthed out of Koinonia Farm in Americus, Georgia. Here, some unusual Christians, under the guidance of Clarence Jordan and the Holy Spirit, developed an intentional Christian community that Clarence called a modern-day example of the kingdom of God. They were crazy enough in the heart of the Deep South, in the heart of deep racism, to have black and white families to live and work together as a demonstration of what God's kingdom could and should look like. Listen to how Habitat's spiritual father, Clarence Jordan, described God's kingdom for his day. God says, "When you are with me and my spirit dwells in you, the rich will sit down at the same table with the poor. Neither will shiver in a drafty house, nor must move their furniture when it rains. Both will rejoice in the robust health of their children, who are not listless from having too little or bored from having too much. They will discover the blessedness of sharing, the warmth of compassion, the quiet strength of humility, the cleanness of honesty, the peace of justice, and the ecstasy of love." Clarence then provided some powerful principles for people seeking to love like Jesus and advance God's kingdom for their time. The poor need capital, not charity. The poor need co-workers, not caseworkers. The rich need an honorable way to give away of their overabundance. Such a powerful example of God's kingdom caught the attention of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., who encouraged Clarence Jordan and the Kingdom of God experimenters at Koinonia Farm. Dr. King built on the power of such real-life Kingdom of God examples when articulating the concept of the beloved community, the community as a way to describe God's kingdom for his time. According to Dr. King, a beloved community is a community with justice, equal opportunity, and love for all. The civil rights movement indeed enabled the beloved community to break out across the land. The question for us is, what can we do to enable the beloved community, God's kingdom of love, to break out today? Focusing on the issue of housing this morning, what can we do to build the beloved community today? How can Raleigh become a beloved community? The lack of affordable housing is perhaps the most pressing issue facing our area. It is not hyperbole to say that we have a market failure in housing. There is currently a shortage of 60,000 affordable housing units, with one out of four families in our community lacking affordable housing. This means that these families are paying more than 30% of their income for housing. This leaves less funds for health care, child care, transportation, education, and any type of savings. We now live in communities where many public servants, firefighters, nurses, and teachers, like my youngest daughter, can't afford to live in the areas where they serve. Without significant intervention, our public servants are being forced to live in several towns and sometimes counties away. Perhaps most devastating, this housing crisis has made worse the racial inequality plaguing our land. The shameful racial housing policies of the past still have lasting impact today. As a result, we still live in mostly segregated cities. Cities, unfortunately, segregated by design, using tools such as redlining and deed restrictions. Black families were steered to defined areas, while at the same time, white families received housing programs, such as VA loans, which my father received, which black families were excluded from. As a result, we live in cities with vast income inequality. The homeownership rate for white families is 73%, compared to 44% for black families. The median net wealth for white families is $171,000, compared to only $17,000 for black families. In this context, how can we, like Jesus, bring good news to those held captive today? How can we build a beloved community with housing justice, equal opportunity, and love for all? Succinctly, we need to again be people of the way of love. We need to seek this way of love with all our heart, mind, and soul. And we must put aside our selfish desires. As Dr. King stated here in Raleigh in 1960, our ultimate end must be the creation of the beloved community. This will require a qualitative change in our souls, as well as a quantitative change in our lives. There are two general ways that we can work together to address this housing crisis and become builders of the beloved community. You can use your hands, as many did yesterday, and volunteer on the Methodist Build and build a much-needed affordable home in our area. Pleasant Grove will be working beside Piney Grove on the church's work days. If you don't feel comfortable working on a construction site, consider providing lunch for the workers on Pleasant Grove's work days. However, please know that you do not need to be skilled in construction to work on a Habitat home. We will provide you with the tools and the supervision you need to perform the work of the day. Nearly all volunteers, like myself, are unskilled construction workers, which God uses to build beautiful homes time and time again, like a modern-day miracle. You can also use your voice to build a more just society, as called for in the Old Testament reading today. There are four specific ways you can use your voice and work for housing justice. First, go to HabitatWake.org and sign up for Habitat Wake's advocacy alerts. As you sign on to simple emails, you can help more families to attain a good, affordable home. Second, you can become a trained advocacy ambassador to advocate directly with elected officials to encourage them to do everything possible to preserve affordable housing and generate more affordable housing. Jane Albright is an advocacy ambassador and can speak to you about that program. We have a training, which you're invited, at 7 o'clock tomorrow night at Pullen Memorial Baptist Church so you can become an advocacy ambassador. Third, you can learn about the way housing policies have created racial inequality in our country. The good news is, once we know that bad housing policy created this inequality, we can create better policy, more just housing policy, to get us out of this mess. On Thursday evening at 7 p.m. at Millbrook United Methodist, we are holding a race and housing dialogue with the African Methodist Episcopal, the African Methodist Episcopal Zion, and the United Methodist churches involved in the Methodist build. Participants will watch the movie Segregated by Design and then go into discussion groups. We have arranged a dialogue group for you and Piney Grove to discuss this important topic together, and then hopefully work together for housing justice in the days ahead. And finally, you can participate in Habitat Wake's Affordable Housing Day, where we schedule you to meet with elected affiliates, elected officers across Wake County on March 22nd to advance affordable housing. You can find out more about each of these opportunities at the Church and Society booth in the Welcome Center. Let me begin to conclude with these words of hope. God is not through working in the world. As Jesus proclaimed, God desires to unleash the Holy Spirit and to empower the next generation of the people of the way of love. Friends, let's be that next generation of the way of love. Let's be the people who love as boldly as Jesus loved. Let's be the people whose thought from sunrise to sunset is God's love. Let's be the people who are constantly in a spirit of prayer and live with humility. Let's be the people who are so filled with God's Spirit that we make the qualitative changes in our soul and the quantitative changes in our lives necessary to build the beloved community. Like Jesus, let's be people who truly see those on the margins of our society. Let us hear the cries of those who have been shut out of homeownership for generations. Let's bring good news to them with down payment assistance programs and other vehicles to enable them to become homeowners and to build wealth. Let's be that generation that embodies Jesus' practical teaching on material possessions. Let us give up pursuit of a second or a third home until everyone has their first home. Let's be the people of the way who curb their appetite for bigger and bigger houses and then work with governments to provide incentives for the private sector to build the much needed affordable housing. Let's be the people who hear the cries of the low and moderate income families about their lose their affordable house, either due to escalating rents or escalating property taxes. And let's bring good news to them, a property tax relief and other programs to help them stay in their homes. Let's live such loving lives that we again are known as those peculiar Christians, people of the way of love, people whose love knows no bounds, people who dared to build a beloved community as a demonstration of God's loving kingdom for our time. Let me conclude with these declarations. When we pick up hammers and work with home buyers to build good, affordable homes, we are building the beloved community. When we claim the prophetic tradition of our faith and use our voices to help our brothers and sisters in need of affordable housing. The kingdom of God is at hand. When we attend town hall meetings and say yes to affordable housing in our backyard, we are building a beloved community. When we encourage our local governments to do everything in their power to preserve and generate affordable housing, the kingdom of God is at hand. When we no longer fear those of a different color, faith, or culture, and join forces with them to build and advocate for affordable housing together, we are building the beloved community. So friends, let's build the beloved community. Let's make Raleigh a beloved community with justice, equal opportunity, and love for all. Amen.